Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studio. Presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. This is where Chicago goes to talk Bears. Sports Radio 670 The Score. Chicago's home for Bears fans. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The Score! It's Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Hand it off to the up man. That's the fullback Estime who dives for the end zone. Some efficient passing and a power running game to cap off an 87-yard drive, and the Irish reclaim the lead.
Blake Fisher on that right side did a good push, and I love how they moved the tailback Estime up close at fullback.
Big thank you to ESPN for that clip right there, the Notre Dame touchdown that gave them the lead, 10-7. But unfortunately, the only time they got in the end zone. But you know what? Everyone was excited when that happened, including the guy that I'm about to bring on the show right now. He's joining us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. My good friend, Nick Schakowsky. What's up, Nick? How you doing, man?
Gabe, thanks for the invite, man. How you feeling?
I'm feeling great. How the hell did you get away from your life during Labor Day? I appreciate it, though. I was shocked when I saw your name. I was like, this guy got a life like me. I was like, how did he find some time right now?
Yeah, well, sometimes you know how it goes. You have the almost three-year-old you put down for a nap, and whether it's a nap or whether it's up in the crib screaming, either way, you just kind of go with it, and that's what we're doing. We're going with
it. You got your fingers in your ears, and you're like, la, 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 la.
Right, yeah. You stay quiet upstairs. We'll put a pacifier in your mouth downstairs, and we'll keep our fingers crossed and make sure everything stays quiet. Then the dog will probably start barking at the Amazon truck. So
literally what my wife tells me, put a pacifier in your mouth, Gabe, and shut up. So I don't have to do anything. Nick.
Sounds familiar.
Let's talk about this. Let's talk about Notre Dame first. Okay. I had a chance to talk to Malik Zaire, former Notre Dame quarterback, about the game, and he was like, I'm a homer. Like, I know I'm a homer. But he was matching my homerness. He was telling us, like, the line's too big. Notre Dame's defense is going to be great. Like, don't buy into the hype of whatever's happening at OSU. What was your takeaway? I mean, were you sad or disappointed at the end? Or did you feel good after that game despite losing?
Well, I mean, I think you feel good about some things. Like, the defense was – the whole offseason's talked about this is an elite defense. It's as good as you're – maybe not quite like an Alabama or Georgia good, but probably that next tier level of good. You're not going to see a better offense than that than all season long. I know the USC is going to have things ticking with Lincoln Riley, and that's going to be a really – that'll be an interesting one at the end of the year. But Ohio State's offense is going to be as good as there is in the country all year, and I think that you saw that with C.J. Stroud. Okay, they're down a receiver there in the game, but they're as deep as any team at running back, at receiver. Their offensive line, obviously, pretty stinking good as well. But I think you can't help but be excited about it. Now, there are growing pains with the offensive line and concerns there. But what you were told and what you thought going into this year, defense is going to be elite, and they played an elite game. I'll be stunned if Ohio State doesn't put up 30 points every game they play in the Big Ten this year, 30-plus points, and you held them to 21 in their house. Like, that is a ton to be said for that. However, the offense and the offensive line specifically, where you thought that was going to be a strength of being able to kind of be the team that, instead of Ohio State doing it to you in the late third and into the fourth quarter, where they're pounding and picking up 6 yards of carry and killing clock that way, you thought that was going to be you. That just wasn't the case. So there's a lot of room to grow the other side.
And that's exactly what I was thinking, you know, as you mentioned the defense for Notre Dame. And I thought to myself, you know, Ohio State was putting up over 40 points a game last year. And I was like, is it Notre Dame's defense or is it, you know, OSU's offense regressing? And I couldn't quite put my finger on it, but I'm glad to hear you say that, because then that puts it into perspective, you know, about this Notre Dame defense. But when you were talking about the offensive line, you were talking about Notre Dame's offense, obviously couldn't put up any points in the second half. What's your take on Tyler Buckner? Like, are you confident in him moving forward, or do you think he needs to be more of just that game manager type guy?
Well, that's the hard part of it. He was a highly touted recruit, so what's forgotten about is that there was at one point he was a 5-star recruit by 24/7 Sports, and he kind of had the worst luck that you could possibly have as one of these top prospect recruits. Sophomore year, has a knee injury, misses the majority of his sophomore year. Junior year, lights the world on fire as a starting quarterback. Senior year is the COVID year, and because he enrolled early, he didn't have a senior season of high school football. Last year, he gets some decent playing time, and I think people kind of see that and think, all right, well, he played in mop-up duty and whatnot. And sure, that was the case towards the end of the year, but the majority of the time he was on the field just to kind of go run. Mm. And it had to have been near 75% of the plays last season that he was on the field for were run plays. They're designed runs, and it just wasn't him running necessarily the offense. So I think that it's, you give him one start, you go into Ohio Stadium in front of 95,000 or 100,000 or whatever the heck was there the other night. And I mean, and to his defense or to his credit, like, he goes and completes his first 8 passes. It's what happened after that. The game didn't slow down for him by any means. And I don't think he did it got any favors from pass protection not necessarily being great, a non-existent run game, and receivers that just weren't winning in one-on-one situations. But I don't think there's any reason to look at that and say that, oh, my God, how are you going to just survive with Tyler Buckner? That's about as crazy of a scenario as you could throw him into for a first start. And although I don't think he's passing with, like straight A's in that game, I think you still feel good about that as a building block for the rest of the year and the rest of really his time in Notre Dame.
Talking to Nick Shepkowski, of course, covering Notre Dame and all the college football for the USA Today. I'm Gabe Ramirez. This is 670 Score. Happy Labor to everybody. What was your take on Marcus Freeman's first game this season as a head coach? Obviously, you know, Malik Zaire, as I mentioned before, I had a chance to talk to him, and he kept on pushing that game that he coached in the bowl game that he coached last year. He's like, no, that was Kelly's team. That wasn't Freeman's game. So that didn't count for him as a game he coached. So what did you think of and how he did for that first game?
Well, I mean, defensively, and that's where his mind is. He's a defensive guy, a former linebacker at Ohio State. He's always been a defensive coordinator or a linebacker's coach coming up through the ranks. You have to like, we just had here a praise of defense. You have to like what he did. You have to like that. The one thing that I think that they would take back if they could is that they have Ohio State facing the 3rd and 11 there in the final seconds of the third quarter, and they've kept everything in front of themselves all night. I mean, you heard about it all offseason, all the time going into this game. Don't let Ohio State's receivers get behind you. Don't let your Ohio State's receivers get behind you. And they take a risky, super risky blitz where they bring both safeties on that 3rd and 11, and just the timing was off just enough, a half second off. C.J. Stroud's able to deliver an easy pass for the touchdown. Ohio State goes up 14-10 then, and it really wasn't the same game from then. I mean, how much different does it play out if it's 10-10 instead? And sure, he doesn't call the defense. It's Al Golden, the former Miami head coach, former Temple head coach, former assistant with Cincinnati Bengals last year. But I think all things that you look at, you feel pretty good.
Yeah.
Some people I know will complain of, okay, was it too conservative of a game plan? Did it offensively? How much say would he have in that? And I look at it as more of a personnel thing of, okay, well, you have an offensive line that's getting beaten as badly as it was a lot of the other night. How are you supposed to call an offense? What are you supposed to do? So I think that limited things quite a bit. And didn't walk out with a win. Didn't walk out with a win as a 17.5-point underdog. But I don't think you saw anything this past Saturday that makes you feel bad or discouraged about the era ahead with Marcus Freeman.
Yeah, Nick, I mean, they were getting beaten again. The offensive line was getting beaten by a top-tier D-line, and you saw that. I mean, it was tough, but I think you're right. It's more of a personnel thing than it was anything else. And then when you're talking about that play in particular, I'm a fan of the blitz on 3rd and 11. Don't give the opposing quarterback an opportunity to sit there and pick you apart. make him, you know, put some pressure on him. It was just unfortunate, like you said, the timing was off. And C.J. Stroud, being the quarterback that he is, you know, had to make them pay. But before we move on from Notre Dame, let me just ask you, like, how good are the Irish this year?
I mean, that defense, you saw it. That's an elite defense. That's a top 10 defensive unit in the country this year. Now, how far is that going to take them? The offense is going to have to grow. The good news, I think, is that the schedule kind of builds itself out this year, that you can kind of have those, okay, you have Ohio State. That's as tough a challenge as there's going to be. Okay, here's Marshall and Cal. Should be two kind of pushovers. North Carolina brings a nice offense, but their defense can't stop a nosebleed, so that should be a game that you're able to win. Like, and then the BYU game will be tough to kick off October. Then Clemson will be tough to kick off November. And then the very end of the year, USC. But it's like, all right, you have a huge matchup, and here's two or three games where you can kind of get right, fix some things, work on some things. Huge game, another month to work on some things. They have to get right for another big game. So I think, I mean, this is a team that, depending on the growth, I think it all starts up front with the offensive line and the young receivers, really. You're going to have those guys win some one-on-one battles and be able to get open themselves to help Tyler Buchner out. But I think this is a team that, at this point, if they don't end up winning 10 games and going to a New Year's Six Bowl, not necessarily a college football playoff, but a New Year's Six Bowl, Orange Bowl, Cotton Bowl, whatever it might be, I think it's going to be significantly disappointing for Notre Dame fans and Notre Dame followers if they do anything less than that.
Nick, I agree with you. And they looked good coming out of the gate. I mean, they were hyped up. I mean, the intensity was there. The fans were there. I mean, but that team looked like a team that was trying to prove that they can compete with some of the best college football programs out there in the country.
And you asked about Marcus Freeman earlier. I think that reflects him, because so many times in the big games under Kelly, you'd hear business trip. Oh, it's lunch bucket mentality. It's a business trip. It's this, it's that, it's the other. And it's like, I don't know, football, in order to be successful, it has to be an emotional game. Yeah. I'm not saying you have to be crazy and nuts, but you can't just try to hide everything in and bury everything in. Like, you're only harming yourself. And I think there's a correlation there of why Notre Dame would come out flat so often on the biggest of stages, and why, kind of like what you're talking about, why the other night they didn't wait to get punched in the face. They were the one delivering the first couple of blows, offensively and defensively, in that game. And I think it reflects their head coach, and it all goes from there.
And you've seen it from the moment he got the job. I mean, all the players were super hyped when they made the announcement that Freeman was going to be the coach, and I feel like that's carried over into this season. So I'm glad to see that they started off the way that they did. And speaking of the guy that he replaced, Brian Kelly, geez, what a game yesterday. So I'm assuming you don't miss him at all, right?
Oh, I mean, that was joyous. Are you kidding me? Not just that it happened, but how it happened. Like, oh, everything. Everything about that game. It was one of the dumbest football games I've ever watched in my life. Like, two muffs where LSU loses possession inside their own 10 or whatever it was, short fields for Florida State. And, like, Florida State has that game wrapped up in one. It's like, all right, let's run a sweep at the 2-yard line because – you know, why put the ball in harm's way? Why not just punch this thing up the middle or knee things out and kick a field goal and go up two scores? Like, no, let's get creative and wacky and almost give this thing away and then a blocked extra point to end things. Like, part of it wasn't surprising again, though, because there were a lot of those, like, whether it was coming out flat or coming out ill-prepared. Like, exactly. Like, that is exactly what it felt like, though, watching that. It's like, okay. Well, surely the head coach is going to step in and there's going to be some leadership here and get things straightened out and get people to breathe easy and take a breath and relax in a tough moment. No, it's just error after mistake kept coming. And it's like, okay, don't let the door hit you where the good Lord splits you there, Mr. Brian Kelly.
How do you think he's going to do, though? I mean, do you think he's going to be able to turn that thing around, or do you think that they're just going to be in, you know, in mediocre purgatory for the next 5 years?
I mean, okay, what's the ultimate goal there? Their last couple of coaches have won national titles. Ed Orgeron and Les Miles have both won national titles there. So if that's the expectation,
I mean, that's a high bar. That's a high bar.
I've seen the Nick Saban, Brian Kelly story a couple of times, and it doesn't end well. So if you're them and you're hoping to be 10-2, go to a big bowl game, but not necessarily college football playoff, okay, I think you're fine. But in terms of actually, like, winning the SEC West or winning the SEC with any regularity, I don't think so. Like, until Saban retires, Brian Kelly's right. Not the kind of guy that's going to put in the endless efforts recruiting that it takes to takes to take down a Bama like Kirby Smart does. And like, okay, best case scenario, so you're looking at the third or fourth best program then in his own conference? Yeah, there's something to be said for going to the SEC and taking on that challenge and taking on that, but I'm reserved on how high he can set the bar at LSU.
Hey, he said high himself. That's the thing. He's the one that did it to himself. So it'll be interesting to see where Brian Kelly can take that LSU team. Before I let you go, I lost a lot of money on the Utah game. I don't know what I was thinking. Everyone thought I was crazy, but I just thought to myself, you know what it is that I'm on social media too much. So I've been watching how social media has been trashing the players of Florida. And I thought Utah was the real deal last year. I thought they were going to go ahead and handle Florida easily. But I guess I didn't take into consideration the swampiness in the swamp or whatever, or the traveling or whatever it was. Is Florida that good? Or was that just a byproduct of a team, you know, coming out, losing some guys and going down to Florida and just getting whooped by a squad that was energized?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of a little bit of both there. Like Utah, that's as big of non-conference game as they've had in a very long time, if not ever. So there's one part of it there. Florida's also gotten Billy Napier. That was one of the higher sought after coaches in the entire coaching change that went on this past, the crazy carousel that went on this past offseason. He turned into the University of Louisiana into, for their standards anyway, quite a power and turned them around quickly and has already turned around recruiting efforts there. And, oh, yeah, the actual coaching part that goes into it, too. I mean, it seemed like a disciplined team. It seemed like a smart – I was obviously going back and forth with that with Notre Dame the other night. But it seemed like a team that wasn't shooting themselves in the foot. And I know that that's not all because of the coaching one game into it, but I think there's a lot to be said there. So I like where, if you're a Florida fan, I think you like where they're headed. Obviously, a significant gap still to close with what Georgia has done last year and in recent years and then what they did this opening weekend against Oregon of sending them to the moon. but I think Florida's on the right track in terms of having a coach that can not just be a good in-game coach but kind of put it all together and outwork just about everyone on the recruiting trail.
Got it. Florida, bet the house against Kentucky next week. Got it. I put that down in my notes right there. Nick, thanks so much, man. I really genuinely appreciate it, dude. You know I love chatting with you. You know, you and I go way back. I'm glad you were able to jump on today. And I do that college gambling show on Saturday, so you know I'll be hitting you up to jump on that as well, okay?
Anytime. I appreciate it, Gabe.
Love it. Nick Shipkowski, of course, covering Notre Dame and all of college football for USA Today. All right, another guy, another coach that has been making the rounds and has been doing a great job at Jackson State, Deion Sanders, had a real interesting take on NFL players that are sitting next to him in the Hall of Fame. I'm going to play that audio for you next and ask you that very same question if you agree with Deion Sanders. What did he say about some of the bums that are next to him in the Hall of Fame? I'll play that for you right after this. It's Gabe Ramirez, live and local on Labor Day on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Happy Labor Day, everybody. Hopefully you guys are driving safely back home from wherever you were. And if you had a few drinks, pull over. Call an Uber. Don't do anything stupid. And speaking of stupidity, that's what Deion Sanders feels like is happening with this Hall of Fame. It's the slew of guys that are getting into the Hall of Fame. And, you know, we were talking to Nick Shepkowski a second ago about college coaches and, you know, what they're doing and what they mean to the game. And Deion Sanders has done just a phenomenal job over at Jackson State. Just bringing attention to HBCUs that are out there. He's done a great job. Wouldn't you agree?
Exactly, yeah.
I love it. They're having a lot of fun over there. I mean, the people that he's brought to talk to his I don't even want to get into that, but Brittany Renner. But the people that he's brought to talk to those guys has been great. But this has nothing to do with his team. It has everything to do with him, the player, Deion Sanders. And the reason I saw this was because LeBron James posted this. And I'm not even a LeBron James fan. I follow him so that way I can hate. I can have proper material.
Right. It's a good Chicagoan shit.
Yeah, because like when somebody's like, oh, did you see LeBron? I said, dude, he's an idiot for posting, you know, whatever. So I need to follow him, just so you know. It's like a low-key troll. But he posted this. He reposted this from Deion Sanders, and I felt like it was important to play because I want to know what you think. So the text lines are open right now, 312-644-6767. Some people would say that the Hall of Fame, in whatever sport it might be, is watered down at this point. I would agree in the NBA, and I'll throw some names out there in a second. But listen to Deion Sanders talk about the current state of the Hall of Fame in the NFL.
The conversation is that the Hall of Fame ain't the Hall of Fame no more. I love it. I respect it. I admire it. I think all the guys who are inducted definitely are deserving, but it needs to be a different color jacket. My jacket got to be a different color. It need to be a starting 11. Yeah. It need to be an upper room. My head don't belong with some of these other heads that's in the Hall of Fame. Put my head, what they call them, bust? Well, bust. I call it the head.
Bust.
Put my head. Do that. Put my head where my head supposed to be. My head don't supposed to be by them. I'm sorry. I'm just being honest. I'm saying what y'all thinking, and a lot of y'all Hall of Famers are thinking the same thing. This thing is becoming a free-for-all now, man. If you play good, No, it ain't good. It's people that change the game. Yeah. That's what the Hall of Fame is. A game changer. Not, I played good. I had a good little run. I gave you 3-4 good years. No, dog. Game changers. Put my head where my head's supposed to. I'm tired of my head. I'm sitting up here looking at night like, what are you doing here? No. I'm just saying what some of y'all are thinking. Am I right?
Could you imagine that? You just got inducted into the Hall of Fame. Your family was there. You shed tears thinking you were a game changer. And then a guy whose bust is inside of Canton, Ohio.
You mean his head? His head.
His head, my bad. I can understand where he didn't want to say bust. Just throws it off. In my world, that word isn't used like that. So, you know, I get it. And you say to yourself, I feel like I'm supposed to be here. And then you get crapped on by Deion Sanders.
But, like, it's also like, I mean, how do you tell Prime he's wrong?
I agree with him. 9 All-Pro selections for Deion Sanders. 53 interceptions. 8 Pro Bowls, played 14 seasons. Could you take a guess? Deion Sanders was a defensive back, kick returner, punt returner. Can you take a guess as to how many touchdowns Deion Sanders has? I'll even give you a hint. It's crazy.
Isn't it something like almost 30 touchdowns?
22.
Oh, my God.
22
That's
touchdowns?
That's still nuts for a defensive player. There's offensive players that have 22 touchdowns.
That's exactly what I was going to say. There's offensive players that don't have 22 touchdowns. I understand you, Deion Sanders, class of 2011, Hall of Fame inductee. I understand you. Because there's one name that stands out to me the most in NBA that I couldn't understand for the life of me why he ended up in the Hall of Fame, and that's Paul Pierce. Now, don't get me wrong. Good ball player. Solid. Won championships. Great mid-range jump shot. Hit some clutch shots. But when I think of the landscape of the NBA and what a Hall of Fame actually means, a Hall of Fame, I don't put Paul Pierce in that space. Now, it could be because he dated my ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, I remember you telling this story.
It could be because of that.
Yeah, maybe a little bias there.
Maybe.
I'm not voting for the guy who takes my ex-girlfriend, you know?
Dude, he didn't take her, right, bro? Chill out.
All right.
I broke up with her.
I don't want to put words in your mouth.
That was her rebound guy, all right?
Let's just Paul Pierce's her.
All right? He couldn't grab a rebound in the game, but he ended up snatching my girl, all right? But going back to what I was saying about Deion Sanders, I understand what he's saying. You shouldn't just be throwing people into the Hall of Fame because what is the argument there? Well, he was the best of his era. But that's not what the Hall of Fame is. By definition, I don't think that's what it is. It should be the best of the best. Not the best of whoever played in 2020. That's not what that should be. So when you look at some of the names, though, that have been inducted into the Hall of Fame, let's just go with this last year. Bryant Young. Okay. Dog. You know? Solid. I played Madden. I had some sacks with him.
I was going to say, I played with him in Madden.
Yeah, I played with him in Madden. I know who he is.
Yeah.
I understand what he did for the Niners. But do I think he's a Hall of Fame guy? If I were to ask Deion Sanders about Bryant Young, I'm assuming he would say, that's not a guy who I would want next to me.
Don't put his head next to his head, man.
Don't put his head next to his bust. Don't put his bust next to his head. Anyway, Sam Mills. I mean, Richard Seymour, okay. Okay. But is Richard Seymour as good as Deion Sanders? Exactly. You're in your car shaking your head. No. It's a great point by Deion Sanders. There should be different qualifications, different, like you said, give me a different colored jacket. That's rude, by the way. That's so weird. Could you imagine?
Yeah.
You have one of those like 10-year reunions, and then there's 6 guys with a gold jacket and 2 dudes with a purple one.
I know, right? It just feels like you're building a class system into the Hall of Fame.
It'd be good. You go into 2021. Now here, okay, here's the point that I'm trying to make to agree with Deion Sanders in this situation. 2021, I'll just throw a handful of names out there. Calvin Johnson, John Lynch, Peyton Manning, Charles Woodson. Okay. Calvin Johnson, yes. Without a doubt. Put his name right next to Deion Sanders. Peyton Manning, I mean, we don't even have to talk about that one. Charles Woodson, I like him. I'm a big fan of Charles Woodson. I love him. I love Charles Woodson, the player. I love Charles Woodson, the man. John Lynch, awesome job as a GM. But do I think, do I think you're a Hall of Fame player? Yes. But do I think you're up there with Deion Sanders and guys like that? That's what I have an issue with. 312-644-6767. Phone lines are open. But I'd love to hear on the text line if you can't call because you're driving. Matter of fact, let's go to the phone lines right now. Who do we got? Alex? Alex, you there? Let me talk to you for a second, Alex. What do you think about what Deion said about the Hall of Fame?
Well, by his definition, you got to change the game to make it in a Hall of Fame. So my question to you is, did Hester or Tillman change the game enough to be a Hall of Fame candidate?
Yes! Devin Hester. Deion Sanders praised Devin Hester multiple times and said that Hester was that dude. So, I mean, then again, I'm a Alex, I'm a homer. You're asking me, I'm going to say, I'm going to say everybody. I'm going to say Brian Urlacher. I'm gonna say anybody that you're telling me, I'm going to say, yeah, Peanut, a guy who's coined the phrase that is used throughout the entire NFL, the Peanut Punch. Teams are trying to bring him into their practice facilities so that then he can then instill that knowledge on their defensive backfield. Yes, guys, that's what he's talking about. That's exactly what he's talking about, changing the game. People don't even kick the ball anymore.
You're not Devin Hester, you are ridiculous.
Thank you for doing that. That got me so hyped up right there. Like, if you don't think Devin Hester should be in the Hall of Fame, you're an idiot. An idiot. No he other way around
quite
it.
Quite literally changed the game. They made rules against him.
Play me the kickoff of the Super Bowl when Devin Hester runs it back. I could watch that all day long. I can get goosebumps watching that all day long. Phenomenal guy. From the 773, Deion was great. But why is he throwing crap? Then no one should be inducted. Not many players change the game. Many is subjective right there. Because many is a lot. There's a lot of guys that change the game. From the 224, what Deion Sanders is speaking on is establishing what Boers and Bernstein's show used to call the Hall of the Very Good for a long time. I love that.
That's amazing.
I love that. That's what they should be. Here's your purple jacket. And I want you to take a nice leisurely stroll down the Hall of the Very Good for a very long time.
You'll be our warm-up act for the Hall of Fame, all right? You guys come in before.
Here's what I want you to do. Go down the hall, make a left. Okay? Now, you, Deion, Devin Hester, go down the hall, make a right, okay? You're going to be all right on that side. I totally understand. Last text I'll read. Gabe, I agree with that caller. Hester and Peanut. Listen, man, I just want to put more emphasis on the guys that are great and make sure that they get acknowledged for what it is that they've done for the game. And I think Deion is absolutely right. Speaking of people that have done great for the game, or the game I'm talking about in this instance is baseball, Lamont Pope does a phenomenal job covering the Chicago White Sox. Him and I have had countless amounts of conversations about this team over the course of the season. And I haven't talked to him in a while, so I'm very interested to hear if he thinks the White Sox have, yes, I'm going to say it, turned it around. Have they? Is there any more hope in LeMond than there was a few weeks ago? We'll find out on the other side. Don't go anywhere. It's Gabe Ramirez on a beautiful Labor Day right here.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
670 The Score.
It's Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
I just, you know, we put up, you know, we go about what we did today. What if we can, could it do better? And we put it in the past. Behind, next day, tomorrow's another date, and I think 29 more games. Just, we played the way we played this week, watch out. We're gonna have a pretty good chance. And the guys are excited about going out there, and it was a really good game today. It was a good game, and we battled back, we give it our best, and we fell short a little bit.
Of course, that's Coach Cairo giving his praise to the Chicago White Sox after taking 2 out of 3 against the Minnesota Twins. And I think he's right. I mean, geez, if they play the way they played on Saturday, of course, everybody's going to be in big trouble. But it's good to hear him say that because it's about believability. And sometimes, despite your successes and your talent, you still need to believe in it. And that's where the White Sox are at right now. The bats need to believe in themselves. The arms need to believe in themselves and put it together and really show what literally everyone in America has been saying since the beginning of the season, that the White Sox are the best team in the AL Central. But they're still two games out, and there's still questions to be answered. And to answer some of those questions, joining us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book, we get to talk to Lamon Pope. Lamon, welcome back to the show, man. It's been a while.
Hey, Gabe. Always great to talk to you.
Of course it is, especially after a weekend like we just had. Let's start with the last game, the Giolito game. He pitched really well. A lot of people obviously have been down on the guy for a little bit. Do you feel, despite the loss, that it was a confidence builder for Giolito?
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those situations where, you know, the only mistake that he made was the two-run homer to Correa. And so, you know, he said one of the issues that he had throughout that outing was a lot of deep counts, a lot of 3-2 counts, and a lot of foul balls situations. And so he wants to continue to work on finishing off at-bats, things of that nature. And so, but the fact that, you know, he was able to keep the team in the ball game, you know, like I said, the only mistake there was that home run in the fifth, and also the walk that preceded the home run. And so you know, kind of cleaning that on up. Those are the things that he's going to be working on for his next outing.
Yeah, I mean, and I agree. I mean, obviously, you've seen that from Giolito throughout the year. Just it's usually been earlier in the games, you know, second, third inning where he's given up the long ball. And it was unfortunate, but the problem still remained for that game was the offensive output of the Chicago White Sox. Now, granted, you can point to, you know, Tim Anderson not being there, Luis Robert not being there. But, I mean, you still got to put together some runs. You had a 13-run output on Saturday, and you felt like you should be able to duplicate that. But let me talk to you about some of the guys that I feel like should be contributing, and that is, you know, Rami Gonzalez specifically. He's been playing well as of late. The bat's been there. Obviously, we know what he could do defensively. Do you think he's going to be a guy that's going to be in this lineup as the season comes to a close and you start getting a lot of these other guys back?
That'll be something to look forward to. You know, you kind of see how they kind of mix and match. You know, when Tim gets back, you know, how do they work? Do they shift Elvis and have him play a little second base? You know, obviously, you're going to get Yoan Moncada back tomorrow. He was activated today from the injured list, but they felt like with the long trip going from Chicago to Seattle, they wanted to get, you know, he's been dealing with hamstrings. They wanted to kind of give him the one day to kind of get situated here, but he's going to be in the lineup tomorrow and the next day as well. And so Moncada's getting back. You know, obviously Anderson is still working his way back. You know, but when those two, when you have those guys back, you know, what's the mix going to be at second base? Obviously, like I said, Elvis is performing pretty well since coming on over. But Romy, you know, he's been someone who's been a little bit of a spark there in the bottom of the lineup, right? He's obviously hit the three-run homer on Saturday night. But, you know, played some really solid defense as well. And here's someone who's had a season where, you know, obviously when he was up a little bit for the, last year, got a little bit of taste of what the big leagues was like. This year, you know, he had to deal with some tonsillitis. He at first, he was like, he didn't really know what the sickness was, but it seemed like he said he was getting sick almost all the time. And so finally, you know, he was able to see a specialist, and he had to get his tonsils out. And so he was able to kind of deal through that while down in Charlotte. When he was able to finally get in a position where he was healthy enough to come on up and be a contributor with the injuries that the Sox have had, he's been able to fill on in, and he's done a really nice job.
We're talking to Lamon Pope, covering the White Sox for the Chicago Tribune right here on 670 The Score. I'm Gabe Ramirez. I've had a heated conversation, not heated, it was kind of mild actually, with my co-host on my Southsiders podcast, Shane Reardon, and we were talking about what the outfield looks like as the season winds down. And I made the argument that A.J. Pollock isn't there. He's batting 172 since August 1st. I crunched some numbers. Gavin Sheets batting 338 since August 1st. You know, he's a good defensive outfielder. So for me, left to right, I have Eloy, Luis Robert, and then Gavin Sheets in that outfield with Andrew Vaughn as my DH. What is your ideal outfield look like if holding true for everyone on the team being healthy?
Well, I mean, I think that's pretty much the way that you kind of have to go, especially like the way that Gavin's been swinging the bat. But you know, so the advantage that AJ gives you, obviously, is the defensive standpoint. You know, so what do you value there? Do you value someone's going to give you more pop and have that home run potential when he steps into the plate and Gavin Sheets, or are you going to value the defense that AJ might be able to give you out in the outfield as well? And so it's a situation where you might be looking at it like all right, you start Gavin, and then you have either AJ or Adam Engel as a defensive replacement there in those late innings. And it's also the way that you can also utilize AJ in other areas as well. And so it kind of depends on what you value there. You know, but you know, every time we have these kind of conversations, right? Yeah, you know, some sort of injury or something sort of pops on up. You know, they've been able to mix and match and utilize all those guys to some extent, partially because all those guys there's been so many injuries and so many situations where guys have been in the lineup, out of the lineup. You know, today, Luis Robert is back in the lineup. He's been in and out because of the wrist injury, and so that's one thing I would be really interested in seeing, just how his swing is looking. You know, obviously when he came on back after the initial wrist injury, you know, the first couple of days was okay, but then those last couple of days in Baltimore, you know, he was swinging with one hand, and you just can't do that, right? And so they were able to send him back on down and have him sort of heal on up and rest out on up. And so it'll be really interesting to see just how healthy he is. And that'll be an important mix. You know, with Eloy, you mentioned him in left field, you know, just how healthy are those legs going to be?
Yeah.
You know, it's a situation right now, he's got to be the designated hitter because his legs are not not 100%. And so, you know, so the situation right now where you might have AJ in left, or, you know, where you're going to make some action, you might have AJ or Bond. You're going to have to play Andrews. So obviously Bond maybe in left, Luis in center when healthy, and then maybe Gavin in right. But that, you know, obviously that's going to hurt you defensively because, you know, you have two guys that even though they've got a little more experience playing the outfield, those two guys are natural first basemen. And so it really comes down to what you value. Do you value that defense or do you value that bat?
And I value health, got to be honest, Lamont. So it's going to it'll be interesting to see, you know, what guys are available for you, because you said it. Luis Robert can't be swinging with one arm. I mean, that's why he's in the lineup, obviously, for defense, but more importantly, for that offensive pop that he has, and that's going to be needed as the season winds down. We're talking to Lamont Pope from the Chicago Tribune right here on 670 The Score. I'm Gabe Ramirez. What has been your assessment so far of what Miguel Cairo has done for this team?
Oh, I mean, it's been a solid situation for him. I mean, here's someone who, you know, Tuesday, it was such an odd day. You know, we had the normal pregame session with Tony, you know, right around 4 o'clock. You know, he was, you know, Dave Stewart was in town, the former Oakland Athletic great, you know, and Tony was telling stories about playoff games and sacrifice bunts and things of that nature. And so it was like a normal session, right? And then, you know, right about 50 minutes before game time, you know, we get the notice that he was going to be unavailable to manage the game. And so that night, you know, obviously, you know, things sort of a scramble mode, right? You know, players told us afterwards that some of them had heard the initial news via social media. And so the situation where, you know, everyone's sort of seeing what's going on. So you can understand where that first night, you know, might take the guys a little bit of a time to kind of adjust. But the way that, you know, the team has been able to kind of respond since then, it's been a very, very good positive. You know, here's someone, we noticed that he's in the clubhouse talking to the guys, you know, before coming out and talking to us, you know, having those conversations with guys, getting to get to deal with the guys. You know, we've seen things like a little bit more hit, you know, training with hit and runs, things of that nature. You know, he hasn't been afraid to, you know, pull a pitcher or make a pitching change whenever he feels that it's time to make that change. And I think the guys have overall really responded very positively, you know, given all the circumstances that the situation has created. I think that, you know, and it showed on the field, right? You know, the way that they've been able to sort of respond after that you know, really rough weekend series that they had against the Arizona Diamondbacks to come on back and to be able to perform that way that they did this weekend against the Minnesota Twins.
Yeah, I love his energy. I love the fact that, you know, I loved when the bench is cleared on Friday. I love seeing stuff like that. So to me, that was really cool. I also loved from over the weekend. Last question I have for you, Lamont, is I love what I saw from Dylan Cease. I mean, obviously, it's a heartbreaking hit given up to Arise in the ninth inning with two outs. Is Dylan Cease going to win the Cy Young?
Boy, I mean, I'm a voter, so I don't know if I can actually give out which way I'm leaning right now.
But
it's a situation where, like, he has done just about everything he can ask for a pitcher to win the award, right? Here's someone who has the strikeout numbers, and the walk numbers are a little high, but here's someone who night in and night out, obviously that stretch of 14 consecutive starts where he allowed either one earned run or no runs at all, had never been done before in NL or in AL history. And so he's got those credentials and what he's meant to this ball club as well, every single time that he's out there. But to have a performance like Saturday, a game nationally televised on Fox, against another playoff contender, and for him to kind of shut down that lineup and to come within one out, I'm writing my story, to have it ready to go as soon as it ends. But that ninth inning was even tough for me to keep catching up because those first two outs happened so quickly. Boom, boom, and so I'm sending it to the editors, and I'm like, it's like there's two outs already, so. And then the base hit and kudos to him, to challenge, Luis in that situation as well. I know there was some talk afterwards. It was like, do you try to pitch around him knowing that, Carlos is out of the game? But it's a situation where, hey, you're leading the American League in hitting. I'm a Cy Young Award contender, one-on-one. Let's do this. And so he went right at him. And Luis got the base hit, but kudos him for attacking him and going for it in that sort of situation as well. And so, like I said, it's Verlander. He's on the injured list. Part of that, how long is he going to be on the IL? And then when he does return, what kind of performance does he have as well? But if Dylan can keep this up, like I said, it's going to be really, really tight. And I really, I'm going to be pondering those few days that I have to make that decision for sure.
Yeah, I gotta be honest, Lamont. I'm a huge fan. I love playoff baseball more than anything else. But that sequence between Cease and Arise, it was beautiful, man. It was beautiful to watch. Just the best of the best right there in that moment. It was something that I even though it ended up breaking up the no hitter, it was a really cool battle between two gladiators in that moment. All right, the real last question before I get you out: how do you think Sox are going to fare against Seattle on this 3-game set?
It'll be really interesting to see tonight what Seattle looks like after playing, having a long rain delay yesterday, that game wrapping up late last night, then them going from Cleveland out here to Seattle. So it'll be really interesting just to see if there's any wear and tear or jet lag from that situation. And so that, it's a possibility for the Sox or an opportunity for the Sox to kind of jump on them early. Seattle's been playing such good baseball, right? And so it's a really good matchup, an opportunity. The Sox did win 2 of 3, during in April, but that was a long, long time ago. This is a much different Seattle Mariner ball club, and so it's a really good test for the Sox to see. Just sort of, and we don't know who's going to pitch Wednesday. It might be Kopech. You might, they have that as a TBA. But you get Lynn, you get Cueto for those first couple games to kind of see how the Sox, if they can continue rolling against some really good ball clubs.
Must see baseball tonight. Lamont, thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate you giving me some of your time.
Thanks, Gabe. Anytime.
Love it. Lamont Pope, of course, writer for the Chicago Tribune covering the Chicago White Sox. I forgot that he had a vote, so that was a tough question right there. But the reason I asked is because I told you guys, I made a hefty bet on Dylan Cease to win the Cy Young back in early July. I just saw the way he was pitching, and I decided to throw a couple dollars on it. And now that Verlander's on the IL, I'm just like, let's go, baby. Let's get this money. Poppy needs a new pair of shoes and pay the rent, too. All right. That was great. Sox obviously take on the Seattle Mariners tonight, 5:40 p.m. Make sure you guys are tuned in to that one. On the other side of this, something that I'm going to be tuned into on Sunday, glued to, I should say, is the Chicago Bears as they take on the San Francisco 49ers. And Matt Eberflus had some really cool things to say about his team. Specifically, what I'm looking at is the confidence that he has in this squad. Where is his mind at? How confident is he in this Bears team? I'll play a clip from Matt Eberflus on the other side. Don't go anywhere. We are live and local on Labor Day. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on 670 The Score.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.